Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Is this official? We're in it?
Yes, we are.
All right. Welcome back to Stream of Consciousness, everybody. I am Joey Gravelfist Stout, and this is Joel Pajama Party Cox. What are we talking about today, Joel?
Let's see. What should we talk about today? Oh, yes. You have a new puppy dog.
I do have a new puppy dog. I hate him. His name is Chewy. The kids were going back and forth between what to name this stupid dog. Before we even got him, they had decided a couple different ones they had narrowed down. Now, first, he's a Dachshund. Okay, now if...
A what?
A Dachshund. Dachshund. I believe it's German. The Germans are coming. Very bad. Very careful. Everybody put on your red jackets and we shall go out into the streets. We have a little... what do you call him?
Dachshund.
Dachshund?
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a Dachshund. They have a couple different names. But Dachshund, Dachshund, also referred to as a wiener dog.
Yes.
Yes, and my kids wanted to name it. Weirdly enough, they wanted to name it Wilbert, which I don't know where or how or why they came up with the name Wilbert, because that's not a very common name.
It's an awesome name.
It's it would be an awesome name, except for two things. One, it's my grandfather's name, coincidentally. Yes, I swear to God, my grandfather's name was Wilbert. And also, it's my brother's middle name, James's. It's James Wilbert. Yeah, he's JW. He always, when he was little, he's always JW. And I'm like, we're not naming our dog after either one of those people, because I don't want to. And also, I do not want this dog to be Willie the Wiener. I know it doesn't seem like something that I would be against.
That would be amazing!
No Willie the Wiener. I did not want Willie the Wiener dog. I kind of put my foot down on that one. I was like, listen, any other name, fine by me. But not that one. And they're like, what about Peter? And I'm like, Peter the Wiener? It's possible.
Tell me that was Brody. Tell me that was Brody.
Of course it was Brody. Little shit. So I was like, no, let's not. Can we think of anything else? Any other name? Give it a dog name. Let's not give it a person's name. Give it a dog name. And I really was like, I'm stepping out of it. You name the dog whatever you want. It's your dog. I'm not cleaning up after it. I'm not going to take it out for walks. It's your dog. This is your responsibility. And I've been against this whole thing since the very beginning, since way before this dog was even in the picture, before the dog was born, and they were talking about a dog. I said, you're just not responsible enough. So I want nothing to do with it. But I'm going to step back. You guys name it whatever you want to name it, although I do recommend that you don't name it Willie the Wiener Dog. And so then the second choice, or there was a lot of back and forth of what names to go through, and they finally decided on Chewy. And short for Chewbacca, or short for Chubert. I like to call him Chubert. I don't know where or why I came up with Chubert, but I feel like it's Chubert.
For the audio listeners at home, I'm shaking my head in disbelief.
Chubert Spotty Stout. That's what we named him. Or Chewbacca, I don't know. But yeah, he's a little... He looks like got an Oreo thing going on. He's a little black and white dog. I didn't want the dog. And as soon as he came in, this is their dog. I'm not dealing with any of the... anything with them. This is not my dog. So every time I sit in a chair, he comes over and he lays on my feet. And every time I lay down, he comes over and he wants to jump up on the couch and lay next to me. And anytime I get up to go get a drink, he follows me. And I can't turn around without stepping on this damn dog. He is everywhere I go. Joel, he loves me. I hate the little bastard.
Because he's like the kind of girls you date in college. He wants to get
like the girls I date in college.
Yeah. They have low self-esteem. They want you to love them. They'll do anything.
That's some of the girls I dated in college. Yeah, that's a loaded. I don't want to go down that avenue at all. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're just gonna leave that one go. Thank you. That's a terrible, terrible analogy.
It's an amazing analogy.
It's a terribly amazing analogy. He's adorable. I do. I like him. I actually do like this dog. I hate that I like him. And I'm always like yelling at him, but he just does not care. It just bounces off of him. I'll walk in to go to the kitchen, I'll grab a cup of coffee or something, I'll turn around and he's under my feet and I'm like, Chewy, back off! And he's just up there biting at my toes and coming up again. And I'll go sit back down and he sits with me again and he just won't leave. And the kids are there a lot of times. Like, it's not just like they're not there. It's not like I'm the only one around. But he just chooses to follow me for the most part.
He's like, I've got all these other people right there at my paw. I can't get the big guy. I get him.
He's trying to win my affection. He's got these. He's still a puppy, but like I don't know how many weeks he is. But
he's got puppy breath. Months.
No, not the puppy breath. He's so little. I don't even know. I don't like dogs in my face. Big dogs, little dogs. I don't want a dog in my face. I don't want him licking my face. I don't like that. I know a lot of people love that. It's not for me.
No licking of the face.
Yeah, don't lick any part of me, but particularly don't get in my face.
Hey, it's about peanut butter though.
Because it's your dog. No, but he's this tiny little itty bitty thing. Like he's like, you know, basically the size of both my palms. Like he's not a big dog yet, but he's got these razor sharp teeth,
mm-hmm.
and he bites. Puppy he teeth. Loves to bite at me, and he nips, man. He hurts. Like he punctures. He's gonna pierce my finger. But no, he's a good dog. I don't dislike him. I don't like the idea of having a dog and the responsibility that goes along with it. So, not my dog. He poops on the floor and I leave it. I don't care how long it takes. I hope somebody steps in it. And here's the worst part. In my you've been in my house. You've seen my floor is a dark wood floor with a heavy, thick, darker grain. And he's a tiny little dog, so he has these tiny little poops. So his poops are basically camouflage on the floor. You do not know they're there until they're there. Until you go squish and you go, oh, shit. Literally.
Well, I'm just upset because you don't make him take his paws off when he comes in the house, but I can't take my shoes off when I come in the house.
He doesn't go out of the house. He stays in. He's an inside dog. He has a little pad on the floor. Little like
what?
Yeah. It's like it's not like a litter box. It's like a litter. It's basically like newspaper training a dog. It's the same thing. You put the pad down, and he's supposed to go on the pad. He doesn't. He's terrible for it. He should, but it's hard to train him. You try to force him back over to the pad, but by the time you catch him, and he's so little, like he squats down to pee, and as soon as he's peeing, he's done already. Like he only has little squirts of mm-hmm. and it's pooping's the big thing. Like he will sometimes pee on the pad, but he won't go. He won't take a shit on this damn pad. Ever. So when I catch him, like I see him hunch over, and usually I'll run over and I'll try to grab him. But if I'm sitting down or something, like I gotta get up and run over, and he's usually done pretty quick. So it's hard to get him and put him on the pad. Plus, he's not my dog. I'm not training him. This is not.
It's a game. Can I shit before you get me? Let's see.
And he's been partway through taking a poop, and I go chewy, and then he'll stop. Like he'll just clinch it off and he'll run away with a little turd dingling behind him. So I even that, and then I go and I take him over to the pad, and he's like, "Well, I'm done now," or it's like still in him, but he's like not, mm-hmm. he's not ready to force the rest of it out. Plus, I scare the hell out of him, and I don't try and do
it. Scared the poop out of him.
Unfortunately, it didn't scare the poop out of him. I wish it would have, but yeah, that's Chewy. There's Chewy.
Oh well, I still love dogs.
I don't dislike animals. Just before we start getting any kind of hate emails or nasty comments.
Emails? Comments? We don't get crap. Nobody replies to our podcast.
Nobody replies until they have something shitty to say about me. And then that's whenever we get hit with it. But before anybody says anything, I love animals. I'm not against animals. I'm just not personally responsible enough to be responsible for a living being. Which is really terrible considering I have four kids at home. So... I don't do responsibility well. I'm trying to minimize the amount of responsibility that I have.
Yeah, you have four children.
I do have four children. Last count. That's four that I know about. That's not even funny. No, it's just four. It's just four. There's none sneaking around that I'm not aware of. And that's gonna stay that way. I'm done now, Joel. I can't even anymore.
Yes, we didn't talk about it in the last podcast. No, we can talk about it now.
Yes, that was a bit ago, actually. I wanted to have Jonesy here whenever I talked about this because he had all kinds of questions and he was curious as to how the whole situation works and everything.
For those who don't know, Joe is now shooting blanks.
I had my penis cut off. He did not. That's, what they do is they take a rubber band and they strap it around your nut bag and they just leave it there for a couple of days until they fall off. And now I don't have testicles. I kept them. What you do is you put them in a glass of milk.
You didn't keep them. Sarah's always has them in her purse.
They're in her purse. I had to put them in a glass of milk to preserve them for a few days, and then they dip them in a wax as a preservative, and now she gets to keep them around in her purse. That's how that works. I did. I got the vasectomy, and this would be a really good one to have on... To do like with a when we're filming, like when we're doing a real what do you call it? Like when we do
video.
Yeah, that's the word. I don't know why I couldn't think of video. I'm looking at my phone because I had some notes in here.
Well, if you wanted to show a picture, we can do that.
You want to see a picture of my skull? Tell you what.
No.
I am me or DM me or whatever M me and BDSM me, and I will send you a picture of my.
I'm saying is I can show the screen, which shows up on the screen now because I put.
Are we gonna have this posted on Facebook?
So, funny story about that.
Oh, tell me your funny story, and then I'll tell you about my balls.
I kind of fucked up.
What did you do?
Well, I thought I had it set to automatically upload the part of the videos, and it didn't.
Why do we have so many problems with this all
because
the time?
Because I'm a dumbass. I'm telling you right now, as of March 9th, I'm sorry, March 10th, 2013, I will start uploading videos.
So are we going to get back on track? We're going to have all the past ones posted.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, I think, don't watch our show so much. Like they catch it when we do the live one. They catch it whenever we post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which we need to monkey with that a little bit and kind of... I want to update how our Facebook... We have... well, if you're listening to us, you've already obviously found our show. But you can... We have a Facebook page, Stream of Consciousness Podcast. I believe there's links in both of our Facebook. If not, we'll have to update that.
I also need to put start putting them back on YouTube as
but
well.
But the video, when you first go on our fan page, the first video you see is a video from like last year or something. And all the videos we posted since then, you have to kind of hunt for. And we need to fix that so that's our newest ones towards the top if
we'll
we can.
We'll fix that.
Okay, so, all right, so the vasectomy. First, I've been wanting to do this for quite a while. It's been something that I've been wanting to do since, like, 3 kids ago. No, actually 2 kids ago, but I kept putting it off, and then...
And they kept making kids.
Yeah, more or less. And I was relying on...
the pull-out method?
Well... Not just that, although we tried a few things. We did condoms for a while, but that's difficult to, you know, when you're in the mood, you kind of, you don't want to stop things to go, hey, hold on a second, I'm going to run to and get one out. And you won't keep them in your wallet. And even if you do, I'm not wearing my pants whenever we get to that point anyway. So you have to go fetch the condom. So that didn't work out extremely well for us.
So just saying, when you look at the costs of running to get the condom, and the cost of a child for 18 years plus?
I'm not arguing that I should have. What I'm arguing is that it was...
I always try to get a condom.
Okay.
And guess who doesn't have a child?
I'm not the smartest man to begin with sometimes. I make a lot of bad decisions. And I don't know if you know this. You hopefully don't know this. But I make worse decisions with a boner than I do without one. So... All the blood flushes out of my brain. And I make worse... decisions, and I don't always think things through. And sometimes I get like this, you know, like when you drink, you think you could fight anybody. You know, you can have a couple beers in you, and you go, "Hey, you big man, you want a piece of?" And you're like, you think you could take on the world. You become a superhero. Well, I have something similar. Whenever I get when I'm at full throttle, when I'm standing at attention, my brain goes, "Yeah, it'll be all right. They'll be fine." What are the odds of it anyway? So it's like 1 in 1,000,000. It's less than 1 in 1,000,000. And I know this because I have 4 kids and I have not had sex 4 million times by a long shot. So odds are not in my favor. So I sometimes convince myself that the timing and such, and I forget to... You're not doing the math in your head. It's not like when you wake up in the morning, you go, "Oh, wait, I still have to brush my teeth. I have to put on my clothes. So I have 5 minutes for this, 3.5 minutes for that." And you can time it out so you can stay in bed for the absolute longest time before you have to get up and run out the door to go to work. I don't have that whenever it comes to sex. Like, I don't think, okay, wait, today's date is the 10th, so her cycle starts on the 17th, which means that her mid-cycle is... Like, I can't do that. Like, it doesn't work. Like, that's the exact opposite of that. I just go, "I don't know, I'm good, I guess." Plus, I don't want to say no, because I don't get a lot of sex. So whenever the opportunity comes up, I want to take that opportunity. I try to fight for those moments. But yes, we tried. She was on the pill for a while, and that wreaked havoc on all kinds of everything. Like, she just, it changed her mood, it changed her attitude. It actually put her to be less, less horny, I guess, is to simplify it. She was very, don't touch me kind of on the pill. which also, you know, that helped us not have kids also. Yeah, so we finally decided that it was time to officially get the vasectomy. So I decide I'm going to get the vasectomy. I call up, I schedule an appointment. They go, you have to come in, you have to do like a pre-visit type of thing. So you go in, you walk into a room, and there's this guy there, and I couldn't pronounce this doctor's name to save my life. Dr. K, but it's Dr. Kareshihara
Sama. Dr. Cut Your Balls Off?
Dr. Cut Your Balls Off. So I go in and I see Dr. Cut Your Balls Off. And I'm sitting in this room for like maybe 5 minutes. And you know, like normally you're in there for a long time. This dude, he's in there lickety-split. Like he's in and he's like, okay, drop everything down. And I'm like, okay, all the way down, everything going? Yep, pull it all out. So he basically takes like that quarterback knee where he kneels down like he's now about to have the huddle with the team. Mm-hmm. Only the team is not.
The team is a team. It's your balls.
Yeah, the team is literally just my balls. Like, it's not me. I'm not even in this conversation. It's like he's having a one-on-one with my junk, and I'm just hanging out up top. Like, I'm on the sideline basically looking in going, is there anything I can do? And he's like, you just hang right there. And he basically walks in. He washes his hands or something, I think, I'm pretty sure. It's all kind of a big blur at this point, but he basically just gets down and he kind of goes, okay, and he grabs both the guys and he feels the tube running up the side. And this is just Thursday for him. Like, he's just, whatever, it's cool. And he's like, so how was your weekend? Anything fun? You know, and I'm just like, interesting story. Some dude's touching my balls right now. That's you know, that's new for me. And he goes, okay, well, it turns out on my one side, I have either a muscle or I have something with the tubes that run from your nads up inside your body that come back out. This is all going to get very medical. Nuts, then there's the vas deferens is the tube that runs out. And then that runs up to where your prostate meets, where those two tubes, your two balls, they two tubes up to the prostate where they become, they kind of form this Y shape that then comes out
of the Voltron?
Of the wiener. Okay? All very technical.
So the Voltron and the wiener is what you're telling me.
Yes. So they all convert, the two points, the two tubes converge at the prostate, and then so whenever, when a guy blows his load, what happens
very, very
is
technical, folks.
Very technical. Yes, basically, I
believe the term is ejaculate.
Don't be gross, Joel. So what happens is the sperm is actually built inside of the testicles, and there's a part on top of the testicle called the epididymis, and you can feel that, and that's what runs to the vas deferens, the vas deferens tube, and that then runs to the prostate, where then it mixes with the actual sperm. No, semen. I'm sorry. So
the stuff in your balls or stuff in the boat.
Sperm and semen are two different things.
What?
Yes. Sperm is the actual baby making cells, where semen is the fluid that comes out of you. So from the testicles up the vas deferens into the prostate, where then the sperm meets up with the semen, mixes together, kind of a little milkshake, and then out the other end.
So I'm picturing your balls.
You're picturing my balls. the most awkward thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
I had my hands like a milkshake, and I was shaking the container, like, and then I threw it out.
Like a James Bond martini. Yes. Joel's over here concocting.
50% semen, 50%.
And oddly enough, I also like mine shaken, not stirred.
I like martinis like I like my semen.
I'm told it's salty. A martini, I've never had one. So, all right, that's more or less the anatomy. That's the physiology of how it works.
And next week, folks, how the birds and the bees work.
No. Oh, yeah, well, maybe one day we'll get into that. Have we not covered that already? Okay, so So he checks everything out and he says, this is how it works. And he takes out a piece of paper and he just basically draws me a picture of how all of this works. Now, I had actually been through anatomy and physiology and microbiology and biology and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew a lot of this. Like, I've actually taken classes, so I had a very good understanding of how vasectomy works and what they do. So basically he says he's going to take two little nips on either side. He's going to hook, fish them up and cut them. Then he's going to put them back inside me. But he's like, okay, so we'll meet you, and he sets the date and everything, or tells me, you know, go set the date with the secretary. But basically, that's all it was. The pre-visit is literally, you walk in, you drop your pants, he grabs your balls, and he says, okay, we'll see you then. He prescribes you some medication. He put me on a Valium and something else, which, by the way, was not like, it didn't make me loopy or fun at all. It just kind of, like, relaxed, I guess, a little bit. But I don't even know if it did that.
Relax, try to cut your balls off.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what it was. And then, so then that's it. You just, hi, how are you? Here's my nuts. Okay, great. Have a good one. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You're the slap shot guy.
I'm the what?
You're the slap shot guy.
The flash drive?
Slap shot.
Slap shot?
Slap chop.
Slap chop. Oh, the slap chop.
You love my nuts.
Okay, so then I actually have to reschedule my appointment and push it back a little bit later because of my insurance and everything. So I now had to push this back into January. So now, not only, like, it's all set. Like, I'm at the finish line, but I'm afraid to have sex now because I'm worried, like, is it's always right at the tail end. It's right whenever you know you're good that something bad's going to happen. So I'm still kind of like holding off, and when you know you're that close to it, you just want it that much more. Like, I couldn't wait.
That's what she said.
Unfortunately, that's not what she said. She said, that's fine. No worries. Whenever you want to. No, she didn't say whenever you want to. She said, not now. But
don't,
yeah,
get away from me. Don't touch me.
Yeah, that's pretty much what
that's
it was.
That's what I usually hear.
So he gives you all the papers and he sends you on your way, and then I go out and I say, okay, well, we had scheduled for this time because of my insurance and all turning over for the new year and all this stuff. So they schedule me early January. I go home, and I'm excited now. Like, now I know what I'm doing. A little bit of research, and I'm looking into it and seeing, like, what's all involved. And I kind of knew it, but I'm just, like, kind of refreshing my memory on it. And it's really not complicated. Basically, what happened was I Googled ball pictures for, like, a week is all that happened. That's all that happened was just my internet history is much creepier now.
Well, my friend works for a veterinary and told me basically how they do it. So,
well, they do it different with animals. Exactly. Like, when I said about the rubber band, like, exactly. That was only, like,
well, that's one way.
Joking. Is, I think that's,
when you actually go to a vet,
yeah.
Say a picture, you take the animal, you lay them on their back. You take where the ball sack is, you do an incision from top to bottom, part it, pull the nuts out, tie a little knot, cut them, tuck that, what you just cut back in, but take the balls out. Sewed up.
They literally removed the testicles off the animals. Yeah. And this is also kind of creepy. I heard that they used to. I don't know if they still do. They took, you know, like, remember in high school whenever you'd leave your lock on your locker and you'd forget your combination and the janitor would have to come by with those big old, those bolt cutters.
Yeah. Things?
They have those that they use to it's either horses or
bulls.
Yeah. Where they would come up and they would just cut them. Yeah. Uh-huh. That hurts me just to think about that. Uh-huh. They would just come up and just boom, chop those suns off.
I'm thinking about ice cream. I'm thinking about Cheerios. Thinking about anything else but a picture of a bull.
So, all right. So there's a couple different ways, but for people, it's a little. They just literally take two tiny little incisions. I'll get to that in a second. Okay. So it's the night before I have to go in.
It was the night before ball chopping. All through the night, that creature is stirring. I even guessed out.
I was shrunk back up inside of myself, out of terror. No, I wasn't. Actually, I was pretty comfortable. I really was not afraid of
because
it at
of
all.
The volume.
No, I didn't take the volume yet. I'm saying, like, the night before. Like, and I was very relaxed. I didn't have any fear. I wasn't worried about any kind of any problems or anything. And I talked to enough people that had it done that it didn't scare me.
Hey Joe, one more time for old time's sake. You know how it was in the morning, right?
Actually, funny story. I don't know what, we're not gonna get into that, but you do say goodbye before you go. you wanna go for one last round. But I was home alone, so really I just, you know, it was Wednesday. It wasn't even anything special. It wasn't anything. I didn't light candles or anything. I didn't have, like, a little romantic dinner with them or anything. I grabbed, there's with the...
I can't light dinner. I can't have vaseline.
Just a box of tissues.
And a magazine of biggins from your children.
I put on some really sweet music. I was listening to some
Prince.
You was listening to Prince. I put on some Andy Grammer and had a little nice going away party for him. I'm gonna miss you guys.
So, funny story.
She's gone. She's
I worked with a guy. He was an older man, probably in his 50s, maybe 60s by then, I don't know. It was like one of my first jobs out of college. And he told me a story once how like he was with this girl. And she came to his door one day and was like, I got pregnant, it's your fault. You gotta pay for it. He was like, not mine. So yours. Not mine. Day later, the dad comes knocking on the door. Heard you knocked up my daughter. I'm really upset. You're not going to take responsibility. He goes, 1 second.
They said you a form.
He goes,
yeah.
Goes in his bedroom, pulls out this little certificate, saying he got snipped. He goes, I shoot blank, so it's not my kid.
Yeah.
That's, dad was so pissed off.
I'm having mine framed and put on the refrigerator. Okay, so there's more to this, though. Okay, so I go, after I say goodbye, I grab, I'm getting all my paperwork together for the next morning, because they send you some stuff that you have to fill out ahead of time, so that way it saves the time of filling everything out. It was only, like, one form. Everything else I already had filled out. So I get all of it, and there's a to-do list. There's, like, a checklist that gives you a rundown of everything to expect and what to do and how to prepare for this. You can't take certain medications for the week before.
No Viagra.
You know what? Actually, I'm pretty sure you can't take Viagra. Also, because it's a blood thinner, but I don't remember if that was on there, Cialis and Viagra and all that stuff. I'm not sure if what was on there or not. So I'm going down the list, and then it says, I have to shave. Not my face. I have to shave everything. Like, I have to completely gone.
Joe got back to 10th grade, Joe.
I didn't know I didn't know where to stop, Joel. I'm a hairy person. It was like a garbage fire was on my nutsack. Like,
you shaved it all.
It was. I made like a circle. I figured, you know, within like a radius.
Did you do Brazilian?
I did. I don't know which one the Brazilian is. I didn't. There was no landing strip. It was just gone.
No, the Brazilian wax, where you wax it and just.
It looked like hard boiled eggs.
Looked like a tiny little baby.
It was like a baby bird sitting on top of two ostrich eggs. Everything. Like, I did, and I didn't. I'm assuming I just needed to take care of the bag. I didn't have to actually do everything, but I didn't want to make a mistake on this one, so I really did. I did from thigh to thigh and then up the belly button. I did it all. I got rid of all the hair. I didn't want there to be any stragglers or any loose ones. I don't want something getting caught inside there and then he sews me back up and then I get an infection or something. I was worried about that. So I do everything. Here's a fun little thing to know, Joel. When you are shaving your nut hair, if you ever have to take this opportunity, you don't want to take a razor to it. The same razor you use for your face, you don't want to use down there, because basically, you ever see an old man with a saggy neck? That's what your balls are. You can't pull them tight enough to get a nice clean go. So after a couple runs, and a whole lot of tissue paper to clean the blood, I went, this is not working. So I got to break out the big guns. Thankfully, I have this beard trimmer. And so I use the beard trimmer to clean out all of the rest. I'm buzzing everything down. I'm just weed whacking, right? I'm cleaning everything out, and and I'm trying to like do it over top of the toilet. So I'm like, I've got to squat over top of my toilet, knees far out, and I'm doing the bat wing on my nut bag. I'm pulling them out as tight as I can get them, and I'm like, with one hand and the other hand, I'm the hair everywhere. Because I manscape occasionally, but I don't shave. Like, I'm not clean cut down there because I'm hairy from toe knuckles to
genetics.
To my ears. The only place I don't have hair is on the top of my head. Everywhere else is furry. You ever see the movie Congo with the monkeys? That's basically what's going on underneath all of this. So I take and I buzz all everything down, and that's so much better. So much a better idea. Like, I just take that and so much less blood. I clean everything all out. I'm all good. I'm ready to go. And then what did I do after that? Then I the next morning, so I get all cleaned up. I get up the next morning. You have to do this the night before. I get up the next morning. I take my Valium, and there's some others. I can't remember. It was like whatever they gave me for, you know, something to take the edge off the pain. I take the pill. This pill is humongous, by the way, too. Like, they give you this monstrous pill, which, by the way, take it orally. You do not have to put it anywhere special. It goes right in the mouth. I take the pill. Sarah and I get in the car. and we drive to the hospital because I don't know how loopy I'm going to be. We drive around. We finally find the place because I had the address a little bit mixed up. We find the hospital. We go in, literally get there like in the nick of time, walk in, and as I go in, I use the bathroom. As I come out of the bathroom, Dr. Cut Your Balls Off is going, Joseph. I'm like, I'm right here, right, it's me. So he brings me, he's right away, right back in. I didn't wait at all. He was, we go in and he's like, you have to wear something. I was wearing like basketball shorts or something, or I was wearing like that style, but pants style. So he's like, just strip down, jump on the table. This dude is unfazed. Like, he clearly does this all day, every day. He was super professional. I didn't feel weird. For you to be in a room, you walk into the room and this dude walks in behind you, shuts the door and says, take your pants off. That's a little bit of a, there's some flags there. There's some red flags and you should be concerned. I actually felt really comfortable with it. Like, I was just like, okay, here you go. Hop up on the table. And he has this this mat that has like it's basically this it's like the puppy pee pad is what it is, but it has a big hole cut out through the center, and he just lays it down on top of me, and so he pulls out, I think it's like iodine or something, and he starts rubbing everything down, like he's moving me around more than. He's doing all the things that I can't get Sarah to do. he's moving, he's touching things. He's got everything. It's super weird. He's rubbing it on my thighs. He's got it all underneath me and under top. It's every crack and crevice that I have. It's all my strange parts. So he rubs you down with like this iodine type stuff, and then he just one more time walks you through the process and lets you know that, okay, so there's a couple things
I'm about to cut your balls off.
He's like, I'm going to hook in, and after this, you are not going to be, you know, and he goes through the whole thing. He's like, I just have to run through that with you one more time to make sure that you actually do want to do this. And I think it's just a legal thing. Like, they have to let you know
that this is a permanent. Last chance to get your balls chopped off.
Right, yeah, if you're going to run now. And I'm
going
like,
once, I'm going like, twice, too late, cut them off.
I'm like, dude, I got four kids. There's absolutely no part of me that wants to, he goes, okay.
Cool, what if I gave you $100?
No, yeah. Was not offering anything.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
How much will it cost?
They actually, I was scheduled at like 2:30 or something. They bumped me up to a 9 a.m. appointment because I'm pretty sure he had a golf game or something later on. Like, he was ready to get in and get out. He wanted nothing to do with it. I think they bumped me up to like 10 o'clock, and then they called me again a couple days before and said, hey, can we do it at 9? And I went, whatever, I'm already off work. It's fine by me. So I go in, he rubs all the stuff on, and then he's basically takes out this, he pulls out a needle, and he's like, I'm gonna numb you now. And I don't do well with needles to begin with. If you want to put a needle in my arm, I get a little lightheaded. I'm not comfortable with needles. I don't mind watching somebody else get a shot. I don't mind blood. I don't like a needle going into me. It doesn't hurt. I just know that I don't like it. So I'm there. All of a sudden, I am sweating. I mean, I am pouring sweat, and he's basically grabs me, and he boom, and he's needles on the one side, needles on the other side, and he's just talking to me. He's like, oh, so where are you from? Oh, did you grow up in Moon? Where do you live? And he's like, how many kids do you have? Four. Where do they go to school? He's like asking questions like that, and I'm like, I'm not panicking, but my whole body is hot. Like, I'm on fire. I'm sweating. I feel the sweat. I'm worried I'm running the iodine off of me at this point. I don't know what's going on. I just know that I am not happy. And so he's like, he's just kind of going along with the whole mix. And he's talking to me a little bit. So as he's doing, after he puts the needle in, I numbed up real quick. Like, almost immediately. I'm completely numb. And so he goes, now I'm going to snip. I'm going to cut open a little hole, basically, is what he said. He said it a little more professional than that. On the one side, on my left side, I have either the tube, or there's a muscle around it, or something that is it's more difficult for him to work with, basically. I believe that it's a muscle that runs alongside of the vas deferens that he was like, I have to basically work my way through that kind of sort of thing. And he's like, you're going to be a little more sore for a little bit longer than most people are. But he's like, okay, so I'm going to cut open now. And I'm like, I don't want to know this. Just do what you got to do. I'm going to go ahead and work this end of it. I'm going to stare at the ceiling, and you go ahead and do what you got to do down there. You don't need me to follow along with this. I'm going to go ahead and trust that you got this, because one of us is a doctor, and the other one of us is laying on the table. I don't, unless you need me to hold something, or if there's any kind of constructive thing that I can do.
Why I cut this open.
Yeah, put your finger here while I tie the knot. I got that. I can do that. I learned that, like, tying your shoelaces.
So can you see everything he's doing?
No. Yes and no. I'm laying on my back. I'm staring at the ceiling. If I really would have sat up, I probably could have. But you're laying down, so you can...
I wonder if they would give you options to get a mirror so you could see the whole thing.
No. Yeah, I should have recorded it for the podcast. That would have been... It's a different website entirely. I should have recorded it, turned it into RedTube or something. No. I didn't want to know what was going on. I didn't need to deal with that. That's his job. I'm paying him a lot of money to do this. Let him handle everything that's happening down south. So he goes through and he starts doing the thing. And he can tell that I'm like, not in panic mode, but I'm definitely like, my heart is bum, 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 bum. I have my arm over top of my eyes. I'm just sitting there trying to breathe and like just get recompose myself. And I'm doing, like, I'm in like in a Lamaze class at this point. Like, I'm just laying on my back. He's doing whatever he's doing down there. He's asking me some questions, but he realizes that I'm not in the mood to talk. So I'm just like kind of going, he's like, are you okay? Do you want a cold cloth? I go, no, just don't talk to me. Let me get myself situated. I just need to recoup and I need to refocus. I'll be fine. And he's like, okay, all right. If you need a cloth or if you need something, I go, just take care. Let's not stop the process. I don't want to, you know, make, we've got to get through this. Let's not take any longer than we have to. So, he's going through and he's like starting to do his thing. And I'm starting to actually like get a little more relaxed. Like, I'm starting to calm down. I'm starting to get my composure. He's very relaxed. He's very comfortable. Like, he didn't make me feel weird. And one of the first things he does is he's talking to me and he's going through, like, where do you live and all this stuff and asking me what I went to school for and telling me about his schooling and everything like that. He says something to the effect of, let me know if anything feels uncomfortable. Like, there's a grown man grabbing my ballsack right now. What's gonna get more uncomfortable than this?
Two men grabbing your ballsack.
How does this get more uncomfortable? This is about as uncomfortable as it gets, man.
So what if it was a female doctor?
I purposely wanted a guy doctor. I did not want a female doctor. I don't know if that's weird or not. I didn't like the idea. Even whenever I was looking up, I don't think I ran across any female doctors. I picked him because he was close to home and he had good ratings. There was him and there was one other guy that were work out of the same office. And he was Middle Eastern to some degree. I couldn't tell you what. But Dr. Kalahimisu Kanamasaha, something like that. And his partner's name.
Doctor, I'm also going to cut your balls off.
The other guy's name was like Mike Coral or something. Like, it was very Anglo, very white guy. Very
Mike Coral as well. Cut your balls off.
So I got between the two of them, I just said, all right, well, who's available on Friday? And they said, Dr. K. And I went, all right, Dr. Cut Your Balls Off is my guy then. Let's go with him. And so he's going through the thing and it's super cool. Like, once I calmed down, once I was good, everything was great. He's telling me about school. We're talking back and forth. We're having like a normal conversation, almost as if he wasn't holding my nuts in his hand. So he's going through and he does the one side and he stitches things up and he goes through and he does the other side and he stitches things up and it's all pretty good. Like, there's really no issues, no problems, no concerns. We go through the whole thing, like, other than him, you know, having, and I mean, every so often you kind of like snap back into reality and you go, this guy is manhandling my junk right now. So all finished up, all done. He goes, okay, I'm gonna let you go ahead and get situated. And this is the weird part. This guy literally was fiddling my junk for probably 30 minutes, cutting it open, pulling stuff out, stitching all back up. Now, when he's all done, he says, he hands me my pants. I didn't wear underwear because I knew I was going to have stuff cut open, so I didn't want them to hold too tight. I wanted to be loose to let it breathe and everything. He says, well, when you get home, definitely put some underwear on, hands me my pants, and then says, I'll step out of the room while you get dressed. You've been staring at my penis for 30 minutes. Now you're going to step? Now I need privacy? This is where my modesty kicks in? I think we've crossed that barrier. I'm pretty sure one of us owes us dinner and a movie.
Would you rather him stare at you creepily as you put your pants on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's worse things he could have done. He could have pulled everything. He could have been like, I see you got a tan. You know, like, I mean, there's things that could have went
in different directions. Okay, picture this. He gets done, hands you your pants, grabs the thing of popcorn, and goes, nice slowly.
Put your pants back on nice and slow. Take your shirt off. Okay, why are you playing with your nipples? Dr. K? No, so, yeah, it, and But no, it was very it was weird time for modesty to kick in, or weird, and I didn't feel like at that point, like I just like I could have walked out of the hospital naked and not felt weird about it. Like it's just that's where my stuff belongs. So I go put my pants back on, and he's like the iodine, whatever it was that they put on. He goes, that might stain your clothes. I'm like, I don't care, this is fine. So he's like, get home, clean off. He goes, you could take a shower like normal. There's nothing.
Wait, so you want to let the shower?
No, there's a lot of shower before. He said I can shower. Like when okay. I get home, he said shower. He's like, I'm like, do I have to do anything special down there? Any clean? No, just rinse off. Just for today, just rinse off, and then you know after that you can go about your day like normal. And that was it. So I go home and I took a bag of frozen peas and I put them on my sack. And I sat at home watching Netflix for like the rest of the day, and I knew
it was different than the other day.
Yeah, right. It wasn't really well. The bag of peas.
Really?
It depends on what you're in the mood for. I go with the stranger. No, that's when you sit on your hand. So I go home and I sit there for the day, and I really don't do a whole lot. But I do. Once the numbness wore off, getting up to walk, like I kind of walk like. Like I'd just gotten off a horse. Like I had to have my knees out. And I kind of strolled along. They did have me on at work. I was just pushing a broom around at the warehouse for like the next week, and it was a lot of walking. That much is a little uncomfortable, but really not bad. No pain, no hurt, no agony, no uncomfortable. Really, I mean, the slightest bit of uncomfortable, but it really wasn't bad. It was just a little uncomfortable. It was totally manageable. I could have went back to, if I had like a normal 9-to-5 job, if I worked at a desk or something like that, I could have went back to work the same day. It really was not, there was no problem, there was no aches, no pains. But here's one thing that I didn't know going into the whole thing is when you go in, they say, after the procedure, he's like, you're still a dangerous man. He's like, you still have some residual in the tubes. So you can still get your wife pregnant. He's like, so for the next, you have 30 goes. You have to knock out 30. I think they said 30 to 40. I think they said 30, but I said 30 to 40 because I was trying to recruit help.
Just got that in like 2 days.
He's like, well, they think they give you like 14 weeks or something. I'm like, dude, I don't even think I need 14 days. You said 30. I'm going to have that done before Friday. Like we can handle this. I got this under control, but he's like, you have to knock out 30. But here's the thing, after the procedure, you can't start up right away. You have to wait 2 weeks. This I did not know. Nobody told me that I had to wait 2 weeks before I was allowed to go again. I spent 2 weeks. I'm not allowed to touch it. Nobody's allowed to touch it. It's just let go. There's like, you just can't anything. It is the most frustrating 2 weeks of your life. You want to talk about grumpy? Oh my God, I was the most miserable person you've ever met. And I had that 2 week marked on my calendar like it was Christmas fucking day. I couldn't wait. I was honest to God, I was more excited about that than I have been about day my 14. Birthday, about Christmas, about any...
Day 14 of the hostage situation. Right, that's exactly. He's coming out!
Cool me a bath! Grab some towels, lots of them. But yeah, so I had to wait 2 weeks, and when the 2 weeks was over, I couldn't, it was like Christmas morning. Like I was like, this has got, and I had to work that day. So I got up late for work. So I had to run to work. So I had to work all day knowing that I could have already taken care. I should have taken the day off work. But yeah, when I came home, afterwards, it was a lot. It was very quick. It was basically like over like that. I was like, okay, alright fellas, it's time to do what we've been waiting to do. And it was literally, I don't think it was a whole minute later, I was just like, oh, all right. It was It was like, you know, like whenever your mom used to make biscuits and you'd have the little container and you had to pop them mm-hmm. open and the biscuits would pop out of the tube. Mm-hmm. It was like that, basically. Only it went and went and went. It was a fire hose. It was the nuts. So much. So yeah, so after that, then I got to knock out 30 to 40 goes. I got to have 30 to 40 You gotta make daddy pop.
I love the fact you guys scared around this. It's so funny.
I'm pretty sure we can say all the words. I just,
You're just embarrassed. That's awesome.
No, I'm not. Actually, if anything, I'm proud of it because I was like, and here's the thing is after that first one, like that first one was like, it was like being a virgin all over again. Like it was, I came so fast. I mean, it took next to nothing to make me go, and I just was like, it was like running, it was like trying to drain a can of Ready Whip. It was really, and for like the longest time, I had no sustaining power, like for way too long. It was over before it started. Like it took, you almost broke your chair. I knocked out 30 to 40 pretty damn quick, and it was not difficult. I was getting like several a day because I, after that much time, after all that waiting, I was anxious. But here, the weird thing is I didn't really have any kind of aches or pains, but it felt like my tailbone and my nutsack were having a tug of war. Maybe up to my belly button. Like, it was, like, between my belly and my nuts were, like, there was this strain. It just, this tight pull. It didn't hurt, but it was definitely, like, this uncomfortable feeling that it was mild. It wasn't excessive. And, after a couple days, my stitches started to come out. They're supposed to dissolve inside you, but the stitching they use is, like, It's almost like it feels sort of like fishing line. Like it was real sharp and pokey, and it kept stabbing me in the thighs, like where it was tied off. So I ended up my stitches pretty much came out, and I had like a little openness. And I'm sure I could have went back in and said, hey, can we close this all back up? But like I could literally see, not like inside of my balls, but I could I guess the fat tissue that was like just a little bit poked out from where the stitches were, healed relatively quickly without any kind of real problem. No issues. It was funny because the once I was allowed to have sex again, I was so jazzed, dude. Like I set up like this little romantic, I had basically like I had it all set and ready to go. And I was like, when she came home, I was like I brought her into this domain. It was like 50 Shades of Grey, like how he has a sex room. That's basically, I created that. Like I had a drink station set up in there. I had wet wipes, I had Gatorades, and everything. I was like, we're making a night of this. This is gonna go down. And like I did, I was like, I was prepared. I had everything that you could think of. I was ready to turn on some music if we needed to set the mood. Like I had everything ready to go. I really did. Like I prepared it like it was a banquet. And then it was over before it started.
And then she's like, I have a headache.
No, because she knew, like there was no getting out of this. I've been talking about
it
since.
Did you have a consent? Tell me you had her consent.
I didn't really need it for as quick as I went. No, of course I had
her consent. There's no way out of this.
That was creepy.
Step in and lock the door. That's the same thing that Dr. K said to me. No, but I really was like, I don't think I set up candles, but everything short of that, like I really was like trying to set the mood because it was a big day for me. It was very important that we work our way through this. And I was like, you know, fix yourself a drink. I'll be with you in a minute. But of course I had consent. Obviously I had consent. But we really couldn't have sex. You still can't have sex till you get your 30 to 40 out. Like you can go. But you can't go inside. This is an outside party. This is it's a picnic, if it were. So, yeah, after that, you then go back. They give you a little plastic cup. This is funny too. So after you're all done, they give you this plastic cup, and they say, you know, they give you like a paper bag, like whenever you're a kid, and you go off to school, you got your lunch packed. It's a little paper bag. And inside the paper bag, there's the cup. Then there's, you know, how to do, what to expect kind of thing. And there's, I guess, some medical form to release for the testing. Because after you do your 30 to 40, you then have to self-medicate one at home into the cup and then take that cup in and go, here, test it. Make sure that everything went the way it's supposed to go. So when I went to go schedule my follow-up, or I can't remember what it was. I stopped at the desk for it was like the information desk. I stopped at the information desk on the way out of the hospital right after I had the vasectomy done, and I walked down and I have my little paper bag in my hand, and so I walk down. Oh, that's what it was. Is we had to go out to Beaver, PA to have this done, and I live in Moon, and I know there's an office in Moon. So that's why I went down and asked if I could go to the Moon office whenever I return for my whatever. And so I go down, and without thinking, I put my paper bag right on the counter, and I go, excuse me, I have a question. I just had a vasectomy done, and I was wondering if I could go to the Moon office. And this chick did not hear a word I said. She just stared at my paper bag because she knows damn well what's inside there. And she's thinking, like, this is my deposit. Like, she's thinking I had it done, and I'm now here to return to have it tested. And she, like, with her hands up, backs away from the desk, and she's like, get that off my desk kind of thing. And I went, oh, wait, no, this is empty. This is not the one. But at that point, I already scared the bejeebies out of her, and she's like, get your spoot off my counter. Take it out of here. But yeah, so that's my vasectomy story. That's so now I'm clean, I'm clear, and I'm no longer in the baby-making business.
Nice.
Yay for me. Well, I think that's all the time we have today, Joel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Be sure to join us here next week on Stream of Consciousness Podcast.
I understand if you don't.
I promise we will talk. Maybe not at all, but we'll talk less about my ball sack in the next episode. We're going to talk about Joel's balls all of the next episode. All right, thanks for joining us. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and all the other fun stuff. Streamofconsciousnesspodcast.com is our website. You can follow us there, and also you can go onto your podcast app on your phone or iPad and download all of our recent episodes. We have quite a few on there last time I checked. And
111.
And you can binge listen to us on Facebook now, because we're going to have everything. We should have everything posted. If you haven't, if you're behind, catch up. All right, everybody. Love you.